You will tonight to 1 Samuel chapter 23. Want us to look tonight at these first 13 verses of this chapter. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors." Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" The Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." And David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. And it came to pass when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David to Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah. And Saul said, "God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in by entering into a town that hath gates and bars." And Saul called all the people together to war, to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. And David knew that Saul secretly practiced mischief against him. And he said to Abiathar, the high priest, or the priest, "Bring hither the ephod." Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant hath certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? And will Saul come down as thy servant hath heard? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Then David and his men, which were about 600, arose and departed out of Keilah, and went whithersoever they could go. And it was told Saul that David was escaped from Keilah, and he forbore to go forth. I'd just like to mention that I ended the message last week when David heard, when news was brought to him of the destruction of 85 priests, remember, which were slaughtered, and their city, the city of Nob, was destroyed. Both women and children were destroyed in that city. And David naturally felt some responsibility for what had occurred, because you remember it was his lying to the priest to receive his help that was used against them. If you look in chapter 22 at his words in verse 22, we read, "And David said unto Abiathar, I knew it that day, when Doeg the Edomite was there, that he would surely tell Saul." Now watch this. "I have occasioned the death of all the persons of thy father's house." No doubt he felt a great weight, great responsibility for the slaughter of those priests and that city. I want you to look over to Psalm 52. This is a psalm that he wrote on this occasion. Psalm 52. You notice in the title, it says, "To the chief musician, Maaseil, a psalm of David, when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David is come to the house of Ahimelech." Notice the psalm. "Why boasteth thou thyself in mischief? O mighty man. He's referring to Doeg, this Edomite, who had killed unarmed, harmless people. Why boasteth thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue, and it was his tongue, remember, when he told Saul that he had seen David come to the tabernacle and to the priest asking for help, but he left out the fact that David had deceived the priest. Thy tongue deviseth mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness. He lied in the sense he didn't tell all that he knew. He didn't tell that David had deceived the priest, and in that way had received the help of the priest. He made it sound like the priest was in union with David, conspiring against the king, King Saul. Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. The righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. We're reminded that the tongue, my tongue, your tongue, the tongue of men, what destruction it can work, as we see this man's tongue was a lying, a deceitful tongue, and it brought about much evil, much suffering. His tongue was also a boastful tongue. And I imagine that when he spoke to Saul and told him what he did, he prospered. He prospered. He came into favor. Remember, the men of Saul, the footmen of Saul, and others would not speak against the priest, but he did. And he did that to gain favor with Saul. And I'm sure at first he prospered somewhat from his lying. But look at what God said his end would be. God shall likewise destroy thee forever. And tonight, as we sit here in this building, just remember, this man is in hell suffering tonight. The Lord shall destroy, likewise destroy thee forever. Hell, just like heaven, is eternal, isn't it? The wrath of God. And I thought about this, and I wanted to say this to you and I to remind us tonight that only eternity will reveal the evil that has been caused by man's tongue. No wonder James the Apostle in the New Testament wrote, "The tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." How we should pray, you and I should pray, because we have a tongue like that set on fire of hell, as the Scripture says, all of us do. We can't tame it. We can't bridle it, but God can. And how we should pray every day, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Now, if you've turned back here to 1 Samuel 23, I want to point out three things for us to consider from these verses. First, David seeking the Lord's guidance in verses 1 through 5. David seeking the Lord's guidance. Two times he sought the Lord's guidance as to whether he should go to Keilah. You and I, we have a wonderful admonition and promise in Proverbs chapter 3. It's very well known to all of us, and it's so well known that we might overlook it and might fail to realize what a wonderful blessing it is. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Now listen, and he shall. Doesn't say he might. Doesn't say perhaps he will. No, he shall direct thy paths. David hears that this city of Judah, Keilah, was under attack by the Philistines. You know, in the book of Judges, we read several times that the enemies of Israel would come when they were threshing their harvest, their wheat. The Israelites would, you know, they'd break up the sod and they'd plant the seed and they'd watch it grow and they'd harvest the harvest and bring it to the threshing place. And then when they would thresh the wheat, that's when the enemies would come down, scoop down, and take all the spoil, take all of their hard work with them. The first time that we read of Gideon in the scripture, everyone is familiar with Gideon, the sword of the Lord, and Gideon. But the first time, this is what we read about Gideon. Gideon threshed wheat by the wine press to hide it from the Midianites. And that's what David hears here. If you notice in verse 1, behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors. Now, from what I read at least, we know how they threshed and how they would beat the corn, the wheat, and then they would throw it up into the air, and the wind would take the spoil, that which wasn't wheat, would take it away. And so this city was a city with walls. We realize that. And the threshing work was usually done outside the city walls. And I would assume that if people didn't like that, I want to call it cascara, but it's the outside of the grain, that which is no good. And when they pitched it up into the air, the wind would take that away. Well, if you were living next door to somebody threshing wheat, I assume they'd just take it over to your house, take it into through the windows into your house or something, into your yard. I remember one time preaching in a town called Tepecan. I still remember the town. And I went out there every week and preached weekly, but one night I went out there and they were burning chilies, peppers. They were burning peppers in the yard next to where we were meeting. We were meeting outside, if I remember right. And the wind was blowing just the smoke. And I just had to cancel the service. Couldn't preach. But anyway, that's kind of off the subject. But anyway, David hears that the Philistines are robbing this city of their wheat. And so he asks the Lord. He asks the Lord if he should go up. Now, remember this. One of the reasons given for Israel asking for a king, they wanted a king to defend them. They wanted a king who would fight their battles, and that was really the primary work of a king, was to defend his nation. But the king was not doing that. King Saul, he was not doing his job. That was his responsibility to defend his nation. But he was absorbed. This man was so absorbed with his envy and jealousy and hatred of David, he didn't care for anything else. The Philistines come in and they lay siege to this city. He doesn't come to help them, which he should have as a leader of that country. But the one thing that he desired above everything else was to destroy his enemy, David, who wasn't his enemy, but he perceived him to be his enemy. You see what jealousy and envy can do to a person. David inquired of the Lord, should he and his men go and fight with the enemies of his nation. Really, it was Saul's responsibility to do that, and David doesn't want to put himself in that position, usurp that position of the king. But so he inquires of the Lord. Now, how he inquired here, we're not told. But the writer suggests it was with the help of that prophet, Gad, who had told him to come back to Judah. Remember, we saw that a few weeks ago. Gad told him to return to Judah. That with his help, he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord told David, go up and smite. Go up and fight and save Keilah. Well, David's men, they didn't have David's faith. They didn't have David's faith, and I don't believe they had David's love for the nation. And so they didn't see the wisdom of going up. They were afraid. They were afraid because they saw that by going up to defend Keilah and fighting the Philistines, they would put themselves in the middle if Saul and his army were to come and fight against them. They would be fighting on two fronts, the Philistines on this side and Saul and his army behind them. And so I see David here as being very practical, don't you? He inquires of the Lord a second time. He asks the Lord. And this time, if you notice, there's a little difference in how the Lord answered David. But in verse 4, when he inquired the second time, it says, and David inquired of the Lord yet again, and the Lord answered him and said, arise, go down to Keilah, for I will. We love God's I wills, don't we? I will. That's a very important phrase in the eternal covenant of grace. I will remember their sins and their iniquities no more. I will be their God. I will write my law upon their hearts. I will, and they shall. And so this time, when the Lord responded to David's inquiry, God said, I will. Go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. And we know, without even reading it, that God is true to his word. Verse 5, so David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Not only did David save the city, the inhabitants, but he also procured food for his army because he took away, the scripture here says, much cattle from the Philistines. So it's important for us to seek the Lord's will. David was a man after God's own heart. And as we look at his life, as we go through these scriptures, we can see there's so many things that could be included in that statement that David was a man after God's own heart. But one thing stands out here. He was a man who sought the Lord's will. He sought the Lord's will. And we'll see this, God willing, as we go through 2 Samuel as well. But the second thing I want to bring out, Saul misread God's providence. Notice that in verse 7 and 8. He misread God's providence. And it was told Saul that David was come to Keilah, and Saul said, God. Now this is how he understood the fact that David and his men had come into this city that had walls and gates that he was enclosed. God hath delivered him into mine hand. This is what I've been waiting for. This is what I've been looking for. Maybe this is what I've been praying for. God hath delivered him into mine hand, for he is shut in. by entering into a town that hath gates and bars. And Saul called all the people together to war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. How deceitful and how wicked is the heart of man. Saul's hatred of David caused him to believe, in spite of everything that he had experienced to this point, of seeing God's hand upon David. David slain the giant, and David being delivered out of Saul's hand when he cast that javelin at him. All of these things that he had seen, but he still, his heart still deceives him into believing that this was God's way for him to dispose of David. David had come into a place now where he couldn't escape. And I want you to notice while Saul wouldn't come down, this city of Keilah, the Philistines come and they attack. He doesn't do anything. He doesn't raise his army and come to defend that city. But when he hears that David is in that city, here he comes. Here he comes with his army. Saul called all the people together to war. Now, obviously, he didn't tell the people the truth. He didn't tell the people that he was going, they were going with him to kill David. They were under the impression, no doubt, they were going down to Keilah to save that city. But no, that wasn't in Saul's heart. He wouldn't go down there to deliver those people, but he would go down to capture and to kill, to destroy David. A third thing that appears to me, God's infinite knowledge is here manifested. His infinite knowledge is manifested. How David was somehow made aware, we're not told how, but somehow he had heard that Saul was planning to come down, and he inquired of the Lord. Now this time we're told how he inquired of the Lord. The first two times he inquired of the Lord, we're not told exactly how, but now we're told he calls that man who was a priest. He's now the high priest because his father, his family had been destroyed. And remember, when he came, he brought with him that ephod. Now, there were many ephods, but there was one ephod of the high priest. And in that ephod was the stones, the Urim and the Thummim, by which they could discern, by which God would manifest or reveal his will. And so that's what David now is able to ask this priest to inquire of the Lord. And he has two questions. He asks the priest. Now the priest is doing this. And you say, well, how did those stones in that breastplate, how did that reveal God's will? Well, you know, that's something that's been lost. The knowledge of, I've heard, read, and I'm sure you have too. There's a lot of opinions. We know it has to do with lights because of the meaning of the words. But when Israel was taken captive into Babylon, that was part of what was lost. But this priest, David says, I want you to find out these two things. Number one, will Saul come down as I've heard? That's the first question. And number two, will the men of this city, will they betray me? Will they betray me, deliver me into the hand of Saul? You know, as you read through this passage and other passages, you see what could have been meant in many of his psalms when he talked and spoke about being betrayed by friends. These people, they owed their existence to him. They really did. He had saved their city. If he had not brought his army down, no telling what the Philistines would have done. And you would think out of loyalty and love and thanks, gratitude. Oh, no. They'll never deliver you into the hand of Saul. They'll go down with you before they do that. That was his second question. Will the men of Keilah deliver me into his hand? Well, the answer to both questions we see are contingent. They're contingent on the first answer. He will come down. But that's contingent on David remaining in the city. He didn't come down. Why didn't he come down? Because Saul heard that David had left. It was contingent. The answer that he was given was contingent on David remaining, staying in Keilah. If you remain here, the answer might be like this. If you remain here in this city, yes, Saul is going to come down. He will. And the answer to the second question is also contingent upon Saul's surrounding the city and the men of the city being given a choice, either being destroyed by Saul and his army. And remember, the city of Nob, he had destroyed. They would be given a choice, and they could deliver David, or they could fight it out. And the answer was, they'll deliver you. They'll deliver you. Now, David and his men left the city, so Saul didn't come down. He didn't come down. And the men of Keilah were not given a choice. They were not placed in that position of having to choose to deliver David or to stand and fight. We see God's omniscience in this, don't we? God not only knows what will take place, He also knows all the possibilities. He does. We see God's omniscience, even in possibilities. He not only knows what will happen, but what would have happened under certain conditions. I hope that we appreciate like we should the infinite wisdom and the knowledge of God. I don't think that maybe we do. The infinite wisdom of God, the knowledge of God. He not only knows what will happen tomorrow because it's ordained, but He knows what could have happened if men had done things differently. You see that? The question is twofold here. Will Saul come down? And the answer is yes. But he didn't come down. The answer was yes, being contingent on David staying in the city. When Saul heard he had left, he had no desire to go down there. And will the men give him into the hands of David, into the hands of Saul, if he stays here in this city? But seeing he didn't, then they didn't deliver him. But God knew that. God's knowledge is knowledge of all things. You know that Psalm 139 is always such a blessing to me. When it speaks about us being created by God, and there cannot be a word on our tongue, but He knoweth it altogether. David, let's look at that psalm in closing. Psalm 139. You know, he comes to the point, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. That's where all of us are brought, isn't it? When we think about how great our God is. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting, mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid thine hand upon me. Now notice, such knowledge, God's knowledge, God's omniscience, God's knowing of all things, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's high, I cannot attain unto it. May the Lord be praised in our thoughts and our words and our actions. Let us sing a verse or two of a hymn.